Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Seahawks head to Lambeau Field where they're expecting to get a butt ton of snow. I believe that's the official measurement that they're using there for this weekend. And to preview that game is Brady Henderson, ESPN, covers the Seahawks. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing well. I just looked on my weather app, and butt ton is actually the official term there. So I actually had to change my flight from tomorrow morning to today to try to beat that snow so I can actually end up making the game.
Now, are you a cold weather guy? Do you mind the cold?
I don't. I live on a boat right now, and so I'm actually cranking the heat up, and I'm in a onesie right now because it sort of gets cold here. So I can handle it, but this is Seattle cold. It's not really, Green Bay cold, I think, is a different story.
Wait a minute.
You just became
on a boat
way
and a
more
onesie?
Interesting.
We're not even going to talk about Seahawks now.
Yeah, it opened up a lot, didn't it? There's a lot to unpack there, as they say.
Oh, man. Okay, well, we're going to put a pin in that one. Mm-hmm. We're coming back to that later.
Circle.
All right, let's get to this game, though. The Seahawks are banged up. There's no way about it. We all saw it against Philly. They were going up against another MASH unit. Are there going to be reinforcements coming on Sunday when the Seahawks head to the pack?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. This is always the danger in trying to assess injury situations with the Seahawks, because we hear from Pete Carroll on Wednesday, and then he doesn't talk until Friday afternoon after they've had three practices and those three injury reports have come out. So I think the big concern is on the offensive line. They had four guys not practicing Wednesday, and then one of those guys, Joey Hunt, got back. He was at least limited yesterday, but they still had Dwayne Brown not practicing. George Fant didn't practice. Neither did Mike Iupati. So, again, the left side of their offensive line looks like it could be have at least one, maybe two backups there. And the last point I'll make on that is, it's one thing having to go from a Pro Bowl guy like Dwayne Brown at left tackle to George Fant. And George Fant has been, I'd say he's been a pretty solid backup. But when he's in there, you don't have George Fant in that third tackle role that, they like to use in those heavy packages that have become really a pretty big staple of their running game. So that would be a big deal not having them. I think they missed, obviously they missed Dwayne Brown, but they also missed, that heavy package role last week in Philadelphia. One reason why their running game never really got off the ground.
Brady, Pete Carroll mentioned that he's going to have more of an influence and we want more of Marshawn Lynch. I mean, that's nice. That sounds good coming out and saying that. But realistically, how has Marshawn Lynch not only just affected the locker room, but how has he progressed? I mean, even though he's in his third week hanging around, I mean, you're going to get better week in and week out. How much of a focus of a run game will you see from Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, I looked at the numbers when I heard Pete Carroll say that earlier this week that they want to get Lynch more involved, and I think it's been something like, over the last two games, it's been something like 90 offensive snaps for Travis Homer to somewhere in the low 40s for Lynch. So I don't think I think you're going to see those numbers maybe a little bit closer to even. I don't know if you're going to see Lynch, start that game, and I wouldn't expect it to be one of those deals where it was like, 2012, 13, 14 when he was there. Every down guy. I just don't know if that's realistic at this point, but I do think you're going to see him play a little bit more. And I think part of that is the fact that, they were surprised at how good a shape he came in, when he reported there a couple weeks ago. And that surprised me too, just because you can imagine what beast mode does in his free time when he's not playing football. But he apparently, got himself in pretty good shape, and he's only in better shape now. And I think another part of that, too, is it's not only that they feel like Lynch is ready, but maybe they're starting to realize, okay, there's a reason that Travis Homer was, a sixth-round pick and a reason why he was their number four tailback. He's a good running back. He's got a lot of potential, but he's still a young guy who has his limitations. So I think it's probably both of those things. And, one more point on Lynch. Brian Schottenheimer yesterday was raving about just the football instincts and talking about how it was one of the first practices that he was there. Remember, this is a new offense under Schottenheimer, a new blocking scheme under Mike Solari. And he talked about how Lynch just picked something up instinctively. It was like a blitz pickup or something that Schottenheimer would never have expected him to know. And he got it. So I think the football instincts too. That's another reason why Lynch, why they feel like he's ready to do a little bit more.
Brady Henderson is our guest, covers the Seahawks for ESPN. Now, another guy who's emerged, they were gushing over him in the broadcast on the television side, is DK Metcalf. And we've seen over the last handful of games, he has made his mark on the Seahawks offense. But one thing that kind of stuck out to me was they kept mentioning over and over again about how his studying of the game and his being a student of the game has helped him along so much. And maybe that's something we overlooked because of the fact that his dad is the former NFL player. Like, he knows what it takes to be there. Can you give us a little insight into DK Metcalf and the guy he is and kind of what makes him tick? All we know him as is this physical freak who's got great straight line speed and goes up and owns the ball at the high point. Off the field, though, and kind of the student of the game, is there any insight into him in that regard?
Yeah, they really raved about him from the moment that he stepped foot in that facility in terms of, the work ethic. And Pete Carroll always talks about just his desire to be great. And Russell Wilson, the story that he'll always tell is, Russell, he'll gather his receivers, his skill guys, and he'll take them on a trip, usually to Southern California for, a long weekend in the off season. And, DK Metcalf actually went with him earlier on that trip, and they spent some time. They were both going to the ESPYs in L.A., and so that's why they both already had to be down there. But he talked about how DK would get up with him at the crack of dawn at, like, 5 in the morning or something, and they would go throw routes and stuff. And Russell also, here's an interesting thing. He gives his receivers these he puts together these kind of scouting reports on the opponent every week, and it's pages and pages of notes, and there's, some quizzes in there. He asks them about, who's the defensive coordinator's name? Where did the nickelback go to college? And he said DK Metcalf aces it. He'll be able to tell you things about, what kind of defense they were running, years ago, and just stuff like that, details like that. So it's probably surprising to a lot of people that he has come on the way he did, because I think a lot of people, wanted to bill him as the one-trick pony who, could only run in a straight line. And obviously, the lateral agility numbers at the combine were what they were. And I think that scared a lot of NFL teams off, frankly. But he is proven to be a lot more than that. You have not seen many receivers come in under Pete Carroll and make the impact that he has. It's Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, and that's it.
So, Brady, flipping over to the defensive side and looking at what happened last week, and I don't know if it's an anomaly. We can talk about going up against a backup quarterback, but having 7 sacks, you still have to get 7 sacks, because I thought that the defensive line heading into that game was the biggest weakness for the Seahawks. Now, going into this game versus Green Bay, you still have Aaron Jones, who runs the ball very well. You're the defense here. There could be some injuries. Jadeveon Clowney, I've had that injury before. That's what they call sport. They don't call it a sports hernia anymore, but I don't know what they want to call it. But having Condre Diggs back, and everybody losing, you're going to have Cody Barton. So the defense, is there injuries that could affect them? And if you're Pete Carroll looking at it, do you go after and try to make it one-dimensional and say, hey, man, we're just going to make Aaron Rodgers throw the ball. We're going to try to stop the run and do what they did a little bit versus Philly.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know if there are so many injuries on the defensive side. Just based on the practice report yesterday, I think Quentin Jefferson might have returned to practice as a limited guy. So I think the issues on defense are just the fact that they are kind of a limited defense in what they can do. And, the 7 sacks really surprised me last week, because that was literally a quarter of what they got in the regular season, which was 28. And, I think that part of what you saw last week was, you did see some of those guys have a good game. Jadeveon Clowney, that was another fantastic performance by him. I think you also saw that the defense made, the secondary, the coverage on the back end, it made those quarterbacks, whether it was Wentz early or Josh McCown later in the game, hold on to that ball. So you saw them. It was kind of just those, maybe what you would call coverage sacks, I think, at least some of those. But you also did see, I looked up, the numbers in our ESPN database. We have a stat called pass rush win rate. And that was one of the, and I should explain that, measures how frequently defenders beat their pass blockers in 2.5 seconds or less. So it kind of takes, some of the variables out of just looking at the pure sack numbers. And that was one of the better rates that they've had this season. So I think it was a combination of those two. And I don't think it's a surprise. I don't think it's a coincidence, I should say, that, they've got Quandre Diggs back there. And if you look at any of the average-based metrics for their defense in terms of he's been on the field versus when he's off the field, across the board, they're better defense with him there covering the back end. So I think it was all those things that led to them getting 7 sacks.
All right, Brady, before we let you go here, if the Seahawks come out of Lambeau Field with a victory, it comes down to what?
Down to finding a way to, A, get pressure on Aaron Rodgers with a 4-man rush, and also finding a way to stop Davante Adams from taking that game over. And, you know, I think one of the concerns I would have if I'm the Seahawks defense, in addition to, you know, the pass rush that we just talked about, is, you know, Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers' number one receiver, has done a lot of his damage out of the slot this season. And it seems like the Seahawks may have settled on Ugo Amadi there as their nickelback, just because he's been the primary guy there for the last few weeks. And look, whatever, you know, I think that would be a tough matchup for any Seattle cornerback other than maybe Shaquille Griffin. So whether it's, you know, if he's on the right side against Trey Flowers or inside against a rookie in Ugo Amadi, you know, I think that combined with, if you give Aaron Rodgers time to throw, that seems like a pretty bad combination for Seattle. So if they can find a way to get pressure on Rodgers, find a way to contain Davante Adams, I think that's the way they're going to win this game.
Brady, who's the better quarterback going into this game for you watching it? Who's playing with the most momentum, or who is the guy that you want to have the ball in his hands? Because they're both, I mean, in my opinion, they're both Hall of Famers. Who you got to go with?
If this was Seattle, and if this was, you know, decent Seattle, you know, mid January weather, I'd go Russell Wilson. If this is in Green Bay at Lambeau Field in the snow like it is, I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, if you look at just the history between these two teams, home field advantage has really been the decider there. You know, the Seahawks, I think Russell has lost all 3 of his games there at Lambeau Field. He has one of his worst passer ratings at any opposing NFL stadium there. So the fact that it's in Green Bay, the fact that Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's going to have the hard count at his benefit there, and all the tricks that he has up his sleeve, and he's the guy who's accustomed to playing in the snow if it does snow, I think that matchup favors Rodgers. But then again, we're talking about Russell Wilson, so the Seahawks, I don't think they're ever going to be out of any game with him at quarterback.
All right, he covers the Seahawks for ESPN. He is currently on a boat in a onesie. Brady Henderson, thanks, man.
All right, thanks, fellas.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.